welcome to the Living Waters Church podcast.
It's good to be here and such a privilege to be able to kick off this series as we go through our Ask Anything. Now, I love the question that I received. The question that I received was, how do I know if I'm in the will of God? And how do I find it for my life? I thought, what great questions. Questions that people will ask again and again throughout their lives. We often think this is a question just for the young, when really it's not, because God has us on a path with many different twists and turns, and it's exciting. And so it's a question that really we can all relate to. As I was beginning to prepare, I knew that there wasn't going to be a little 8-verse package in Scripture that I could go through and just and find, you know, easy steps to finding God's will. I knew that it would be necessary to look at the whole of Scripture, looking for God's character and how He interacts with us. To look at us and who we are as humanity and how we kind of wrestle through this life. With questions like these, I love it actually, because you can access the collective wisdom of men and women who through the centuries have written on this subject as they themselves have wrestled with the will of God. So after a few weeks of contemplation, I've done my best to kind of pin down some key thoughts that will help us as we consider what it means to wrestle with the will of God. And I've entitled the sermon, The Will of God in 5 Easy Steps. Oh, good. I'm glad you got that. That was a joke. let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that this is a question that we get to ask. I thank you that you've made us with the ability to discern and the ability to choose, and you've given us free will. And so, God, I just thank you that we can ask this question. And so as we go over these thoughts about what it means to discern your will, I just pray for each person in this congregation this morning that you would really speak specifically to them. Would you show yourself, would you show what it means at this point to grow further in discovering your will? So we thank you in your precious name. Amen. So what do we mean when we talk about the will of God? The concept of God's will represents his desires for us. And these can be divided into his general will and his specific will. His general will concerns his desires for everybody, for all people, regardless of who they are, regardless of where they live, regardless of which century they happen to be a part of. He longs for certain things for all of us. And we can see examples of this through Scripture. You know, his will for all people is that they would be in relationship with him. His desire for this was in the first century as it is with us in the 21st century. And we see in Scripture that this pursuing God that is constantly calling for us, calling us into relationship with him. His general will would also include that we grow to be like him. The whole idea of redemption, the whole idea of transformation, there's this sense that we come to Christ and then we are renewed, and there's changes that take place within our lives. Our character changes, our conduct changes. We begin to display love, joy, peace, gentleness, self-control. That's just a general rule or general will that God has for your life. We also know that he desires that his followers reach out to those around us with the life-changing message of the gospel. We are to go to those red light districts with the red letter words. He gave us a very clear and plain mandate before he ascended into heaven that while I am gone, this is what I want you to do. It doesn't matter who you are, where you live, or when you're living. this general will is for everybody. And it's discovered through Scripture and really not something that we have to work super hard at to discover. And it's probably where we should be spending most of our energy. Now, his specific will looks, it's a bit different. It concerns what obedience to his general will actually looks like specifically for us as an individual. Because God leads us in paths that are unique from one another. The path that I am walking as I respond to God is very different than the path that Doug is on. That's very different from the path that Joanne is on. There's this uniqueness about it, and I love it because God puts us together with these unique skills, abilities, interests, all of that, and he uses all of that to guide us and to lead us. So the specific will concerns questions like, you know, how should I use my time? How should I use these abilities that people around me seem to say that I have? What school should I go to? Who should I align myself with through marriage or through community? Where should I live? All of those kinds of things. And so I kind of took liberty with this question today, and I thought when we ask, how do I know if I'm in the will of God, or how do I find it for my life? I assumed that the question was not so much about the general will of God, but more about the specific will of God. I think that the person was asking, how do I discover the uniqueness of the path that God has me on? So you ready for the five steps? I was serious about the five steps. Step one. You ready? Relax. Relax. When my mom was graduating from high school in 1960, there were three career choices for her as a woman. She could be a secretary, a teacher, and a nurse. Exactly. And so they would do some sort of aptitude tests when they were probably in about grade 10, and then they were put in a stream that just kind of led them all the way through high school and right into vocational school or college or whatever that would be. And we can't even imagine the restrictive environment that was, because we live in an environment that the choice seems limitless of what we could do. I was at Save On Foods this last week, and in the ice cream aisle, looking at vanilla ice cream, which you think would be a very, very simple exercise. Vanilla. No. There is creamy vanilla. There is French vanilla. There is no sugar added vanilla, which does not sound like fun to me. There is double churned vanilla. There's natural vanilla. There's vanilla bean vanilla. There's velvet vanilla. And then my personal favorite, Madagascar vanilla. Madagascar, can you imagine? See, we're swimming in choice. It's ridiculous. Today, travel is really no big deal. I could decide today to be in India tomorrow, and chances are I could get there. Communication is no big deal. I'll tumble down the stairs in the morning and see Darcy in our office, and he'll go, oh, yeah, I'm Skyping Sri Lanka right now. And I'll go, okay, and go make my coffee. Like, communication is no big deal. The news feed that we receive, you know what I'm talking, news feed, that we receive of information of other people's lives, it can actually feel like an avalanche of information. There was a book written in 2004 called The Paradox of Choice, written by a psychologist named Barry Schwartz. And he suggested that the choice that we have in the day that we live is unprecedented. And he argues that too much choice, instead of bringing a sense of freedom, the choice is actually increasing our anxiety as a society. You go to Save On and you just want vanilla ice cream. See, all of the possibilities can make us anxious. And we can worry that we're going to make a mistake. And oh my goodness, we don't want to make a mistake. And so we become paralyzed. And instead of this joyful freedom as we follow Jesus, it can feel as though we are walking through landmines, hoping that we don't step on one. I particularly see this in young adults, but it's not limited to them. Relax. Why can we relax? We can relax because if we look at the character of God, we know that He is good. We know that He is trustworthy. And we also know that He is not stingy with us when it comes to His will. We see this in Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 5 and 6, very well-known, well-loved verses that say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. In other words, put all of your weight on Him. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all that you do, and He will show you which path to take. James 1, 5. God promises to give us wisdom if we ask for it. You know, if you don't know what to do, James says, no problem. Ask God with faith and He will give it to you. See, this is where we begin. We begin with a good God. We begin with a God who gives us guidance. And if we examine how we really feel when we're stressed out and when we're anxious, we can almost feel as though God is playing a game with us somehow. Do you remember playing that game, colder, colder, hotter, hotter, when you were a kid and someone would hide an object or something and you walk towards it and they'd say warmer, warmer. And then if you were walking away, they'd say colder, colder. I think sometimes that's how we think God's playing with us and that He's having a great old time watching us scramble around. He is not playing cat and mouse with you. And if you truly desire to do His specific will, and you are faithful with His general will, you can't screw it up. So we can relax. Isn't that good news? Step 2. Be faithful where you're at right now. Be faithful to the general will of God. This is really what Doug talked about last week. He said, you know, you won't be able to walk in God's blessing if you are walking in ways that are in direct opposition to Him. So you can't expect God's blessing or the unveiling of His specific will in your life if you're being disobedient in some fundamental way. Now, I'm not talking perfection, because if we had to be perfect, none of us would never do anything, right? But I'm talking about a willful disregard for His commands. So be faithful in that general will of God in obedience. But also be faithful in what is right in front of you. I remember being a wife and mom of young children and feeling that God's will for my life was passing me by. Because I believe that I was to be a minister. That's what I trained for. That's what I was created for. At least that's what it seemed to me. And it took me a while for God to get through to me and say, hello. Those little 3 feet people that are gathered around your ankles, they are my will for you in this moment. Be faithful. And it continues. Now there's 6 feet. Be faithful with what is in front of you. See, many people are seeking the will of God, seeking the dream, seeking that which they are hoping and praying for, and they're totally disregarding what is right in front of them. So, if you're a student, you be the very best student that you can be. Thank you. I respond to amens. Be the best student you can be. Do not be that person that doesn't put in that last assignment because you've already passed the course. That's not faithfulness. If you're in a job, and perhaps it's not living the dream, be faithful in that job. Be the best worker that company has ever seen. Have that company asking, how can I clone that person? Faithfulness. If you want to get married, spend less time looking for the one and more time becoming the one. Faithful. Now, do I love everything I do every day? No. Ask the people who live with me. Do you love everything that you do every day? No, because life, part of it, life is just hard work. And God's will doesn't mean that we're perfectly happy with every part of our lives. It means we're faithful with what God places in front of us. And when we're faithful with where we're at, rather than waiting for our real life to show up, God builds our character and God sets us up beautifully for the next stage. He's actually testing us to see if we can be counted on and testing us to see what is he or what is she made of. What are you made of? Darcy and I have found this to be true throughout our lives. You know, I remember when we were 23 years old, we were pastoring and we were newly married, and our portfolio included youth ministry and seniors ministries, which that's kind of interesting. But those two groups actually have a lot in common because they're tons of fun and they have time on their hands. And New Year's Eve, right? Loved it. Loved hanging out with the elderly. It was fabulous. But I'll never forget New Year's Eve 1991. You would think that we had spent the evening with the youth, but no, we actually spent it with the elderly. 23 years old, New Year's Eve, and I'm in an old folks' home. And I remember this feeling of like, really? Really? This is where you have me. But you know what? We decided very soon in our married life that we were going to be absolutely faithful with what God placed in front of us and what he put before us. And we have seen God bless us and open opportunities and have favor on our lives because we were faithful in seemingly small things. So be faithful. A biblical example of this is David, who's Jesse's youngest son. He's tending sheep. And Samuel comes to identify and to anoint God's choice for a king. And Jesse doesn't even think that David is even a candidate to be shown to Samuel. But Samuel finds him and anoints him. And then what does David do? He goes back to tending sheep. And this long period of time between the anointing and when actually he received the kingship was a huge point. And he was faithful in that long journey. I just believe it's an example for us. Step 3, accept the lordship of Christ. Now, I'm going to get really direct with you, and you're probably thinking, isn't she being direct already? It's not about you. God's will is not about you. And the sooner that we get that, the more effective and content we will be. We live in an American idol culture that has been coined the me generation, and it's increasingly consumeristic, individualistic, and entitled. And it's the absolute antithesis of what our lives in Christ should represent. And it's so easy to get sucked up into the mindset where we begin to try to discern the will of God, but putting it through the grid of our own desires, putting it through the grid of our own needs for fulfillment and expression. I want to live my best life. There's a few magazines out there right now where their covers say, "This is your year." No, it's not. This is God's year. Last year was God's year. This year is God's year. Next year will be God's year. It is all God's year. So the question is not, God, what is your will for my life? But rather, what is God doing around me? And how is he asking me to contribute to his work? How is he asking me to participate in the move of God, his plan for redemption through this entire world? How am I a part of that? It's not your year. See, this emphasis on self robs us. It's like the joy falls out of us onto the ground because we're so absorbed with ourselves and our needs and what we want. And God says, let that go. Come into my plan and see the joy, see the contentment, see the peace, see the life that pours out of you because you got it right. See, Jesus is our example in this. When he's going to the Garden of Gethsemane, he knows he's about to face death. Matthew 26, starting in verse 38, and he told them, my soul is crushed. He was telling his disciples that were with him, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. And then he went on a little farther and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. Other translations say, nevertheless, Lord. In other words, I'd rather not, but you know what? I'm going to be obedient. Jesus knew what his role was. The greater plan for humanity. This was not about his desires, his plans. It was about the overall purposes of God being worked out, of redemption for the world. His heart was for people, not for his own little space and what he would want to accomplish. See, I think that we're living lives that are too small. And our lives need to rise up to meet the call that God has on our lives in the plan of redemption for this world. I believe he calls us to great things. I believe he calls us to sometimes dangerous things. And may our heart be captured by the vision that's greater than our little lives. Can you imagine if Christians around the world abandoned their own plans and preferences, abandoned the sense that I need to be fulfilled, and took themselves out of the center of their small universe and instead began to call out, nevertheless, Lord, your will be done. It would change the world. George Mueller was a German evangelist in the 1800s in Europe. And we have a picture of him. Isn't he cute? I just love his little smile with his... Anyway, I just think he's just the cutest. He was the founder of an orphanage in the 1800s in Europe. And over 10,000 orphans, he cared for them, rescued them, and cared for them in his lifetime. He was a man that was known for ridiculous amounts of faith. And he wrote this about his own practices for finding the will of God. He said this, I seek to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in a given matter. When we're ready to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be, 9/10 of the difficulties are overcome. So he does his best to give up his own desires in order to not get in the way of God's. God's will is the place of real life. Step 4. Discern. Now, discernment is the ability to recognize what God is saying, to recognize how he is leading you as an individual. And it comes out of intimacy with God. Intimacy with God is really the only way that we as people can parse through the myriad of choices and influences and self-desires in order to discover God's directing. Again, Jesus is the example for us in this. Remember, he is the one that showed us how to be human. He showed us how to live our lives. And he did nothing without the direction of the Father. There was this pattern that he had in his daily life where he would go about the Father's business. He would go about healing. He would go about speaking and demonstrating the gospel to people where they were at. But you would always find him backing away from the crowds in order to take some time to connect and to refresh and to almost like reboot and understand what he was to do next. He describes it in John chapter 5 in his own words. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. He knew that he could do nothing by himself, and we can do nothing by ourselves. Therefore, our priority must be to relentlessly pursue communion with God. When I am out of communion, when I am trying to make my own way, this is what I have observed in my own life. I become very foggy very quickly. When I come back into communion with God, I receive clarity. I get a peace that God is indeed leading me. And I may not get the whole plan. In fact, I rarely get the whole plan of where God is taking me and Darcy. But I will at least know the next step. And honestly, that needs to be enough. The next step. So when you have a question, you know, where should I go to school? Where should I live? Is this the right job for me? Should I marry her? When you have questions like that, be connected to God. Because when we're connected to him, we've actually positioned ourselves to discern well. How do we position ourselves? Well, this isn't rocket science, but we're gonna go through it. We position ourselves through Scripture. We are regularly in the Word of God. Do not be a lightweight about this. Take this seriously. God has confirmed things to Darcy and I many times through Scripture. When we have a question and we'll be reading the Word, and suddenly something will kind of twig for us, and we'll understand that God is actually speaking to us through his Word. You can also position yourself through prayer. Ask God to reveal his Word to you. James 1 says, if you don't know what to do, ask me in faith. So carve out time to actually listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. One of my girlfriends and her husband were in a very foggy place in the fall. And they were needing some significant breakthrough to understand what it was that they were to do. And so what they did was they decided to go into an extensive period of prayer and modified fasting, actually for 40 days. And they carved that time out. It was almost like, you know, if I had to put a picture to it, they drew a line in the sand and said, we need you to speak in this moment and about this issue. And God powerfully showed up in a variety of ways to confirm some things and to make things that were fuzzy to clear them up and bring clarity. Often God will show us things through circumstances. You know, when an opportunity comes up and it lines up in such a way that, wow, this has to be God. Well, Darcy and I just say, yeah, it has to be God. And we go with it because the circumstances have lined up that way and we don't overthink it. Sometimes God will show us things through our conscience. I'll often get a gut feeling about something. If I had to describe it to you, you know, if there's a question that Darcy and I are wrestling through, and I will just have this sense of, and I would put it this way, I just know in my knower. I'm not exactly sure where my knower is located, but I know. And that's the grace of the Holy Spirit on our lives as we're trying to figure these things out. And this is what I love about serving Jesus, is that we never arrive. And it's this journey that we're on that's cumulative. And God continues to show us how to hear his voice. And I expect in the nursing home, when y'all come to visit me and I'm like 90 years old, that I will still be learning how to hear the voice of God. This is something that isn't reserved for pastors and you know, important global workers. This is something that we can come into communion with the Holy Spirit, and that he will speak to us. Sometimes Sometimes we're blessed with a direct word from God. The Holy Spirit has been promised to be a helper to us. And the gifts of the Spirit can be used in for discernment. I remember one of the big events in our lives when Darcy and I were deciding between two options. And we had decided to go with the safer option. And someone from Ontario called and said, "I don't really know you, but I feel I'm supposed to tell you this." And it cleared up the picture for us. And we actually went with the riskier option and opened up for a decade of ministry and stuff that totally blew our minds. Does that always happen? No, it doesn't. But can it happen? Oh, yes, it can. Godly counsel. One of the things I love about being in a family is that we can bring other people into the conversation as we're trying to discern God's will. Now, I'm not talking pull the audience. I'm not talking asking every single person you see, "What do you think I should do? What do you think I should do? What do you think? Do you agree with what he, you know?" Sometimes we get like that where we almost want to absolve ourselves of our own personal responsibility and decision making. Can't do that. But what we can do is say, "This is what we're praying through. Would you pray through it with me or with us? And then is there any sense that you have?" This is when you put on your big girl and your big boy pants and take responsibility. Finding the will of God is less science and more art. And I almost look at it as gathering information from all sorts of places. And Darcy, I'm talking about him a lot. It's my husband, by the way. Yeah, who's Darcy? He's a fabulous journaler and has been for many years. And so when we are in scripture and we hear some or really sense something, he journals it. When we have a prayer time and wow, like, what do you feel? Okay, journal it. When someone says, "I was praying for you and I just felt to tell you this," we journal it. And we gather all of those things together and we're faithful to his general will. We're faithful where we're at and a picture will emerge and we'll go, "Okay, this is the way. We're going to walk in it." Step 5. Make a decision and act on it. Back to George Mueller. He says this, "Thus, through prayer, the study of the word, and reflection," so all of those gathering points where he tries to kind of gather it all together, "I come to a deliberate judgment according to the best of my ability and knowledge. If my mind is thus at peace and continues so after 2 or 3 more petitions, I proceed accordingly. And I have found this method always effective in trivial or important issues." So he makes a decision. There's always a let go point in some of these things that that we are called to. I personally have never been good at the let go point. About a week before I got married, I wasn't so sure. Week before I had my first baby, I wasn't so sure. I'm not very good at the let go point, but there comes a point where you have to let go and go forward. What's the worst that could happen? What you could be wrong. Oh, well, pick yourself up, stay connected, get on the path. Don't settle for a life that is locked down small because that's where you're comfortable. Don't settle for it. Walk past the fear. Take risks. Attempt difficult things because God will often lead us into difficult things because this is life. God has you. When you're walking that path and you're doing your very best to follow him and what he's asked you to do, he will sustain you. Now, I still haven't quite answered the first question. How do I know if I'm in the will of God? I think you know you're in the will of God if your life is oriented around what matters to him. If that's what gets you up in the morning, things that matter to him, then you're on a good path. You know you're in the will of God if life freaks you out a little bit every day. If you don't have that sense of, then maybe you need to be a little more risky. You will also have a peace. You will have a settledness because there's this sense that you know that God is leading you. You'll also know that you're in the will of God when you're fruitful, when you are contributing to God's work around you, and the things that you do matter, and they have a lasting impact, and they're making a difference in the lives, and the kingdom of God is going forward. That's how you know. So, I don't know where you're at. And I would imagine that these different things have hit different people differently. And perhaps to go forward today, you just need to relax. You realize you've been up in your head too much and polling the audience and doing all sorts of things in order to figure this out. You just need a revelation that God is good, that He is gracious, that He is going to meet you in whatever question it is that concerns you at this moment. Perhaps you're not being faithful where you're at. You're skimming. You're skimming and you're waiting for real life. You want the important stuff now. No. Faithfulness right where you're at. Perhaps this lordship question has kind of hit you in the heart where you realize that, wow, you have a big agenda. You have ideas of what it is that you're wanting to do with your life. And I will tell you that you will not find fulfillment when you follow in your own ways. It's when we follow in the ways of Jesus, that's what leads to life. And maybe you just need to work on discernment and to learning to develop that connection so that you get better and better at hearing His voice for yourself. Now, it could be that God has spoken something very clearly to you and you're sitting on it because it freaks you out. What does it mean for you today to move forward? I'm going to invite you before you leave to share with whoever you're sitting next to as you feel comfortable. What does it mean for me to move forward? And answer that question for them. Maybe even pray together. And like Luke said, continue the conversation. Talk about it over lunch. Talk about it at life groups. Wrestle through this because there's no easy answers. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for that we're in relationship with you. Thank you that you do guide us. Thank you that this isn't a great mystery, that actually you long to cooperate with us, and you long for our ears to be tuned in to what it is that you're asking us to do and to participate in. And God, I pray for each one that they would know absolutely what their next step is in really discovering your will for their specific life, Lord. God, I thank you for the uniqueness of this community. I thank you for all of the abilities and the gifts and all of that you've placed in each one of them. And God, I pray that none of us would settle for safe and for boring, but that we would trust you, that our hearts would be captured by what captures yours, Lord. So I just pray that you would stir that within us and that we would have the faith and the guts to follow you in the ways that you're asking. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we'll see you next week.